Tsunamis are long water waves that are caused by an impulsive motion of the seafloor. So anything that pushes the seafloor up or pulls it down violently can generate a tsunami. So that can be either an earthquake underwater, a volcano underwater, or a landslide underwater, or even a landslide that starts above land and falls into the water.
Now, we hear that these waves can travel hundreds of miles an hour. Do you see any evidence of these waves on the surface before they reach land?
Not very much. It is measurable, but the amplitude in deep ocean is very low, on the order of just a few inches sometimes. They move very fast in deep water. The speed of these waves is related to the depth of the water. So the deeper the water, the faster they go. And the shallower the water, the slower they go. So as the wave enters these extremely long waves with small amplitudes, as the front end of the wave enters shallower water, it begins to slow down, whereas the back part of the wave is still in deep water going very fast. So the result is kind of like a train wreck. The back end of the wave piles up into the slowing down front end of the wave, and that's what we see in the videos of this massive wall of water coming ashore.
How can it do so much damage after traveling thousands of miles?
The energy in the wave is not dissipated. All that energy that was released by the earthquake was transferred into the water in the form of a wave, but it's not being dissipated by wave breaking, because waves lose their energy when they break. But in these cases, these waves don't break until they get right on the shoreline.
Can these happen anywhere in the world?
Basically, yes, but it's much more likely in other places of the world. So wherever you have large earthquake fault systems that are known as subduction zones, that's where you have the most tsunamis. And the largest subduction zones are what ring the Pacific Ocean and what we call the Ring of Fire. But there's also a subduction zone that is on the western side of Indonesia, that is running from Sumatra and following the arc of the Indonesian islands down through Java and facing to the southwest. So that's a very large subduction zone as well.
Now, are there any such areas near the coasts of Africa?
No, Africa does not have a subduction zone near shore, but it is, as we know now, facing the subduction zone that's in Indonesia, so it is vulnerable to tsunamis from Indonesia.
Now, in some parts of the world, a tsunami early warning system is in place, is that right?
Yes.
How does that work?
It's basically a seismic network. It's a manned operation. There's one in Hawaii called the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, and there's one in Alaska called the Alaska Tsunami Warning Center. And these are funded by the U.S. government through NOAA. And it's a team of guys who are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there's someone in the office all the time, and they monitor basically earthquakes around the world. And whenever a large earthquake happens somewhere in the world, within a few minutes, they can tell where the earthquake happened, how big the earthquake was, and what type of earthquake it was. With that information, they can look in the map and say, okay, was this in the right kind of region? Was it the right kind of earthquake? And if the answer is no, then they would just issue an advisory that there was this earthquake, but no tsunami threat exists. If the answer is yes, then they'll issue a watch, and then they will monitor various tidal stations around the region. Plus, there's an array of actual tsunami detector buoys in the North Pacific that then are put on alert. And if these buoys sense the right type of signal coming across, then a warning is issued for the appropriate areas of the Pacific.
Was there any such system in effect in that area of Asia that was hit?
No, they do not have that. Our warning system was initially created in the late 40s after the 1946 earthquake and tsunami, which devastated Hilo, Hawaii. And it has been slowly upgraded and improved through the years. And those buoy detection systems that I mentioned were just put online in the last 5 years.
Is it difficult to set up? Is this a system that could readily be established in the parts of Asia that were devastated?
Yeah, I believe it could be set up. It just requires international cooperation and, of course, money, and then constant maintenance and vigilance, which sometimes could be hard to come by in other parts of the world.
Now, for someone like you who spends his life researching these things, what kind of information can you gather from it?
I'm a hydrodynamicist, which means we study the wave motions and the water motions associated with tsunamis. So what we're interested in, if we go to the field after the relief and recovery effort is completed, we'll go into the field and we'll try and gather information about the speed of the currents, the sequence of the waves, how big the waves were, how far inland the water penetrated, and to what level it reached. All of that information is then compiled and can be compared against our computer simulations, and we use it as a calibration for our computer simulations. Then once we have our computer simulations improved, then they can be better used to forecast the potential effects of tsunamis in other parts of the world.